Project Access for All, the podcast. Interviews and stories about issues, organizations, and people working to create access and inclusion for people with disabilities. Everyone should be welcome everywhere. Here's Project Access host, Alvaro Gutierrez.
Hello and welcome to Project Access for All. Today we have the honor to talk to Wellington Z. Chen. He's the executive director at Chinatown Partnership. We're going to talk to him about diversity. We're going to talk with him about Chinatown, that lovely place in New York City. We're going to talk about also inclusion in society, access, the ADA 25, and his organization as well. So thank you so much, Wellington, for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
My first question would be, can you tell us a little bit about your background, your life in general?
I've been blessed to be exposed to all kinds of cultures around the world because my father was a seaman and he later on became a ship captain. So I have the blessing of having been gone from port to port, from city to city, from town to town, being exposed to the richness and the depth and the breadth of the culture that's on this little oasis called Earth.
Now, can you talk a little bit about Chinatown Partnership?
Yes. The Chinatown Partnership began as a creature outgrow of 9/11, of the handiwork of Bin Laden. And a few years, Chinatown was part of the frozen zone. So a few years after 9/11, all the stakeholders got together, and including the public and private sector, the community, created this new organization called Chinatown Partnership in order to be transparent, accountable, and has a good integrity board that the people can trust.
For those who have never visited Chinatown and wonder, firstly, what covers Chinatown? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that's a great question. There's a lot of discussion about what is Chinatown, but the uniqueness about this Chinatown is that it's actually everybody's town. This town is located where 90 years ago was part of Little Italy, and where a little bit longer that was part of Little Germany, Kleindeutschland, and it was part of the great migration of the Eastern Europeans, of the Jewish community, the Irish community, of the Anglo-Dutch community. So Chinatown, despite its current status as Chinatown, is really the home of all Americans, including the Lenape Indians that began here 12,000 years ago at least, because it has a source of the water called Collect Pond.
Can you tell us a little bit what are some of the activities that you can do in Chinatown?
Well, Chinatown has many needs. So after 9/11, they interviewed about 2,000 stakeholders from across all spectrum, from all walks of life, Asian and non-Asian alike. And one of the things that stood out was begin with the basics, which is that they found that the area is in need of a major cleanup because, as Charles Dickens noted during his visit 100 years earlier, the thing that struck him was the sanitary condition of this area. And so we began by cleaning it up first so that, you know, just because a destitute community, a low-income community, they equally deserve a clean shirt just like everybody else. We may not have the silk shirt, but we deserve to be clean and healthy and sanitary and healthy.
I grew up in Barcelona, Spain, that was a city that was not very appreciated even by the same people that was living there. It was dirty. It was not respected by the citizens until a great mayor, Pascual Maragall, came and he changed a lot. And then the Olympic Games of 92 came and then Barcelona became well known. How important is for you, Wellington, and I have seen that on your website, to make it a very positive and lovely place to live? Like, it has to be your home and you have to take care of that. You have to be able to alert when there is a problem. You have to educate people about emergencies. You have to keep it clean, as you were saying before. How important is that in any place?
I think that we have to give credit to the Spaniards, because not only you make us, you have such a high standard that we are so in awe, because subsequent to your Olympics, you also won the contract to clean the Beijing Olympics compound. So that speaks volumes about how Madrid and Barcelona are keeping their cities clean. And so it is important in the sense that it's the basics. If you see any Chinese martial art movie with the monks and the masters or the karate kid, what's the first thing they ask you to do? Sweep the courtyard. The opening scene is the monk sweeping the courtyard. The opening, the first thing the martial art master have the karate kid learn was to wax the car and wash the, and go and clean something. And so everything has to begin with the basics. After 9/11 is such a dark event, and they gave us some lighting money, but why would you want to shine a spotlight on a street full of garbage? That, you know, and how can you command respect, as you say? If I smell like a total bum and I come up to you and just say, Mr. Gutierrez, I demand respect from you. Or that, you know, just because I'm poor and I come up with a very, very clean and decent presentable shirt, you will look at me very differently. And that's about self-dignity, respect for the community, and treating humans with the proper respect and humanity.
Right. Very well said, Wellington. For Project Access for All, for this podcast, for our Beyond Sight, for you and for Chinatown Partnership, diversity, people with disabilities, people of color, people of all communities, the importance of having them always involved and always included in everything that you do. Why is that so important for our society, Wellington?
Well, this is another lesson besides learning from Spain, is if we'll only have to learn from Mother Nature. In nature, biodiversity is actually essential. It's critical, it's basic, and it's undisputed. There's no discussion about the lack of biodiversity, because otherwise why would a bee exist to cross-pollinate, right? And so in academic research, we're beginning to find out that the multi-discipline and the interdisciplinary dialogues and discussions are what producing breakthroughs and insights into what is important. And so learning from Mother Nature, the necessity for diversity is a given. And so we are part of nature, and so therefore diversity is a must.
You have a very rich cuisine. A lot of food, right. Very good food.
Right.
How that in Chinatown is very diverse.
Right. And this is where one of the well-known contributions, that if you want good food, you have to come down to Chinatown. And as you know, the Chinese word for how are you is not how are you, is have you eaten. So you can see how important eating and food and culinary art is to the Asian culture, and especially the Chinese culture. So having been exposed to tens of thousands of years of trials and error, I'm pleased to say that the Chinese culture has perfected many of the great dishes, and they are available here. And it's not just one cuisine from one area. It's not monolithic. There are hand-pulled noodles here. There are dim sums here. They are great bubble teas here. They are great fusion restaurants that our youngsters are beginning to experiment with our hybrid East and West combination. They are new. They are spicy food as well as healthy food, vegetarian, kosher, even kosher restaurants, and then there are the fabulous bakeries with the egg tarts and the char siu bun and all kinds of goodies. And by the way, Chinatown is also a good alternative source for your fresh fruits and vegetables because they are more reasonably priced, they are fresh, and also the seafood market, and they are cheaper than any place else in this city. So come on down and we welcome you.
Wellington, I know that in your events you have people that are also very diverse. You have people with disabilities, you have the Latino community going there, you have people that are of color. Can you explain the importance of inclusion in your events of everybody?
Well, being the victim of the one single group that got singled out by Congress for specific exclusion of 1882, being a victim, we are not about to inflict that on any other ethnic group because we got delayed for 100 years because from 1882 until early 1980s, we were blocked, we were delayed in our arrival for 100 years. So having been exposed to that kind of injustice, we will never subject any other group to the same kind of treatment. So, and as also, we are staunch believer, at least I'm a staunch believer in having a joint celebration. Why would I not enjoy and incorporate all the different diverse cultures and all the different music, all the different histories, all the different performances, all the different dances, all the different richness of storytelling by limiting ourselves and our appeals to only a narrow spectrum of only one group. As proud as I am as an Asian American, as a Chinese American, and we know how much we have to offer, this is a great, great hidden asset of this city. And that's what made this nation great. That's what made this city great. It's about the ability to include new ideas, other people's past, and respecting their religion, their culture, their history, their music, their food, their dancing, their history. And this is where we can come together and have fun and celebrate together.
Wellington, in terms of making sure that this society becomes fully inclusive of everybody, do you think what is missing to achieve that goal that we are all chasing, maybe is education, lack of education, lack of information? What would you say is missing in this equation?
I think it is multiple. It has a multiple angle. It has multiple angles that we need to be gradually raise the consciousness and awareness. As you correctly pointed out, education is key, and then informing the public, informing all of us, and gradually raising the level of a deeper understanding of what it means to all of us is critical. And on top of that, it's also important that we recognize our limitation as human beings, is that we behave as a herd mentality, for lack of a better word, what psychologists call environmental psychology. And so we had to better utilize our environmental psychologists to properly be aware of what it means for others and what it means for themselves. Because if I want to conserve water, an experiment and study have done is that if you were to turn off the water while showering in a public shower, there's a 40% chance the guy next to me will stop while soaping to turn off the water to conserve the water, like California is experiencing. However, if two people both turn off their water while soaping, while taking a public shower, there's a 60% chance that that individual in the middle that has not turned off his faucet will likely do the same. And so that's just an example that we know that we need to gradually let people not only by informing them, but also lead by the example of taking the lead of doing the right thing to show others what is the proper thing to do.
you know, there are many events in Chinatown every year.
Right.
Could you highlight one event where you have more people attending, and that's the biggest event maybe in Chinatown during the year?
Okay. Historically, whether it's this Chinatown or the other Chinatown, other Chinatowns throughout the world, the biggest event for all Chinatown is the Lunar New Year, because that is a combination of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's combined into one. So without exception, every Chinatown, unless they have something really unusual, typically the biggest event is the Lunar New Year celebration.
What's the day of that event?
Yeah, this event, the event varies from year to year because of the lunar calendar.
Oh.
So it's not based on the Western calendar. So it is based on what day. Sometimes it's in February. Most of the time it's in February. A lot of times it may be fall in late January as well. So it fluctuates, but it is a big celebration.
Could you tell us, although Chinatown has come a long way,
right?
Like any neighborhood, like any town in the world, there are things to improve. What would you say is one of the biggest challenges that Chinatown still faces today?
Well, you know, as with any community, there are a couple of things that are constant. One is the constant changes, and how does a community react to those changing dynamics? And Chinatown, just like all the other communities, need to adjust to the powerful forces that are swirling around us, and we had to adapt to those changes.
What would you say is the best thing that you could recommend about Chinatown? If someone says, why should I go there? What would you say first?
Great question. This Chinatown is unique in that no other Chinatown can have this kind of asset that is, you can call that, what I call the source of the Nile, where the civilization began. And this nation, thanks, is start in many, many ways to the ability to include others in Ellis Island with that Statue of Liberty in their harbor and create that this great city as well as this great nation. So this is the source of the Nile. This is where, you know, basically where this nation began. Alexander Hamilton was down there. George Washington got his start as the first president here. We fought the critical battle with the British on the Brooklyn Heights, what is called the Battle of Long Island. All of the major historical events, the Erie Canal, the building of the greatest reservoir and the aqueduct system to feed 8.4 million people, the world's largest subway transportation system, and coming down to a point, which is where we are right now, the origin point.
What would you say is the most rewarding part, the most exciting part that you say you go back home at night, this is what life is all about for me?
In life, this is a great question. In life, there are a couple of things. One is that if you're blessed, you have a job. If you are a little bit more fortunate, you have a career in a profession of your chosen field. And then there is what is called the calling, which I'm very blessed with, which is to say that I've been blessed to be assigned to this role, and this is a calling. And I am just a pawn, a chess piece in the greater master plan that I do not know what it is yet. But just as you are, just as I am, we are preordained in a way to carry out this master plan and doing the best we can. And one of the blessings is obviously encountering all the great people, all the diverse people that is hidden in this community. Despite all the negativity, you find a lot of great people, a lot of good people who understand right from wrong, who understand what is the proper thing to do, and people who step up to play to do the right things. And those are really the true blessing. At the end of the day, it's about empowering the individuals to energize the community. And I've been very blessed with that portion of the work.
Very inspiring answer, Wellington.
Yeah, true.
And now from New York City, the MOPD, New York Commissioner Victor Colisi, has three questions for you. So let's take a listen to them.
Sure. Hi, Alvaro, and hi, everybody listening. I'm Victor Calisi, the Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. First, thanks for all your help, for your support, and your commitment to New York City's ADA 25 anniversary. My first question for you is, what does the ADA and this 25th anniversary mean for you?
Well, one of the things that struck me was that we all think, you know, the so-called, we all think the public all generally have this sense of, what does ADA have anything to do with me? Where in fact, ADA is part of us, you know, because I was participating in one of the panel discussions, and it was pointed out by the participants that only 17% of the people are born with what's called the handicap or the physical challenge. 83% of us acquire them, whether we go to serve the country in Iraq, in Afghanistan, or we have like Christopher Reed. So we don't appreciate it until it is that moment. So I'm beginning to appreciate what it is that the ADA at 25th anniversary means to us. For example, the legacy so far is tremendous. Every time I go to a public bathroom, the Y bathroom is because that it was due to ADA. We used to go into these tiny little bathrooms that are meant to be like a cockpit of a jet fighter, you know, and you now go into the public or enjoy, whether you're handicapped or not, the ADA compliant elevators, ADA compliant bathrooms, or the corner curb cuts, so that when you are hauling some luggage along, you don't have to do that the heavy lifting, that you can easily glide down and go to and all the hand truck delivery, UPS, Federal Express, and all the hand truck delivery, warehouse delivery people that are putting their hand truck have ADA to thank for, as well as many, many other things that has been in short 25 years. Every one of us get to benefit from it, not just the people who are physically challenged.
My second question, as you know, the ADA looks out for the well-being of people with disabilities. So all of these areas where the ADA is improving people's lives, employment, transportation, public accommodations, public services, and telecommunications, which one do you think needs the most improvement?
Well, I think overall awareness. I think the fact that we now, you know, like Isaac Perlman was describing his encounter at Congress. He was invited to Congress, and you know, the Congress have that long flight of steps, and instead he was lifted up, put into the side door, and things like that. That was before ADA, and I think that illustrates how far we have come now. As you just mentioned, you know, if I need to get down to the subway, now, you know, the subway stations at least are beginning to put in more elevators. And so for the seniors that are now slower in movement, those are very, very, you know, preventing them from falling or breaking a hip or God forbid. And so all of this is part of the progress that's been made in 25 years.
And my final question, what's your message for any young people listening to encourage them to help celebrate and keep the spirit of the ADA moving forward?
That's a great question. I mean, it's absolutely correct. The young are going to inherit this planet, and it is going to be their world. And my advice, and it's a lesson I learned from many, is a couple of things you need to do. Obviously, it's always good to give than to just receive. And more importantly, you cannot call yourself a leader if you don't mentor the future generation. So we have to share and give each other a hand. And for those who study longevity, the secret to longevity, helping others is not just altruistic. At the end of the day, if you want to live a long life, and the secret to longevity is by helping others. Helen Hayes, the great actress, was interviewed, I think, in her late 90s or 93 years old, about what's the secret to her long life and longevity. And her answer was, don't bother me with that question. I'm too busy helping other people with their problems. And that is an illustration of why by helping this will be helpful to yourself.
And finally, I want to make sure everyone knows about the NYC Disability Pride Parade taking place on July 12th, which is a great way for people with disabilities to celebrate their pride. So I hope to see you on July 12th, marching with us in the Disability Pride Parade.
Well, I want to say thank you to Victor for these very good questions. And in Wellington,
yes.
What are you going to do for the ADA at 25?
Oh, yes. On July 26th, we are going to be launching a major ADA celebration. And so we welcome everyone to come down to set up tables because, you know, Lower East Side, is the sidewalks are narrow. So we have closed off. We will be closing off multiple blocks on Mott Street, south of Canal Street, all the way down to Chatham Square, and turn it over to the ADA community for celebration, for fun, and there will be a lot of family activities. There will be tables for people to display and educate. There will be as you know, our area is renowned for food, so come on down for very reasonable price foods, and then come and have fun. And so on that, it is a Sunday, last Sunday of July, July 26th. We welcome not just the ADA community, but the entire world to come back home and celebrate and join us in recognizing the contribution of the ADA community on their silver anniversary.
Okay, so finally, can you tell us, please, your contact information?
Okay. My contact information is very simple. It's my first name, Wellington, at ChinatownPartnership.org. Again, Wellington is Wellington at ChinatownPartnership.org because we're a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And so just think of Wellington. At ChinatownPartnership.org. Chinatown Partnership is one word, no dot, no spaces. And my phone number is 917-577-7003. Again, 917-577-7003. Feel free to reach out to me and we will be delighted to welcome you to Chinatown.
In the website?
The website, there are two websites. Obviously, very easy to go to ChinatownPartnership.org. But our main website is called explorechinatown.com, and in that, on the upper right hand corner, you can subscribe to our newsletter and we will notify you of all events, what are the good things happening in the community, what are the things you should be aware of, and if there are any alerts as to weather, as to any emergencies, we welcome you, and it's free. So we welcome you to subscribe to the explorechinatown.com newsletter. There are several thousand households on subscription right now, so why not join us?
Sure. It's a wonderful website, I have to say, for our listeners, and it's very accessible for the screen reader Zoom text that I use as someone who is visually impaired. Thank you so much, Wellington, for being with us today, and I hope our listeners are going to enjoy and celebrate the ADA at 25, as we all are going to do at Project Access for All. And remember that you can visit us on Facebook at Project Access for All. You can visit us on Twitter and follow us there at Project Access for All. You can email us at podcast@projectaccessforall.org. And you can visit our website at projectaccessforall.org. So from Alvaro, from ABS, and Project Access for All, thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.
Project Access for All, the podcast, is a production of Art Beyond Sight in New York. For more about Art Beyond Sight and Project Access, visit this website, projectaccessforall.org. And you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and find Project Access on iTunes. Project Access. Everyone should be welcome everywhere.